About 7 years ago, I gave a retreat, 30-day retreat, private retreat, to a billionaire. He's worth, so he told me, $1.25 billion. Yeah, $1.25 billion. Very wealthy. His first name is Thomas. I called him Tom. And during the 30 days retreat, I said, Tom, you want to go to heaven, don't you? Sure, of course. You'll never get to heaven with all that money. And, sisters, in the first, I would say, 3 years, that retreat cost him about $30 million. And, of course, I congratulate him when he gives his money to worthy causes. So wealthy people have a duty to share, and that's a duty. What is the right and duty of political authority? You know, to regulate the lawful exercise of property rights for the common good. What virtues are required to respect human dignity and economic matters? They are temperance, to moderate attachment to the goods of this world. And that is hard. Wealthy people, they want to enjoy as much as they can what their money can provide them with. Justice, to respect our neighbor's rights, and solidarity to follow the golden rule and the example of Jesus Christ, who became poor that we might become rich. And sisters, I have given a retreat to just millionaires. Nobody else can make the retreat. This is a very important principle of our Catholic faith, to help these rich people, first of all, to save their souls. Now, what is theft? Theft is appropriating someone else's property against, notice the word, reasonable will of the owner. It is therefore not theft to appropriate in some urgent or grave need. When I was in Mexico giving classes to your sisters in Tijuana, they gave me a little room for my lodging, and I went to teach class, did not lock the door. I came back to my room and my very nice alarm clock was missing. So I looked around and, somebody took it. I told one of the fathers, one of the priests. He said, Father, lock your door. Because in Mexico, there are so many very poor people that when a person goes to confession, that's to be retrained people. They should be asked, when they took something which belongs to someone else, did you really need it? And then, if they really needed it, then, I'm quoting this priest, they don't consider that a sin. Let's skip 1089. Are contracts binding in conscience? Yes, contact between persons forms what we call commutative justice. In other words, shared justice on both sides. This is the foundation of human society and requires the protection of property rights, the payment of debts, and the fulfillment of whatever obligations were freely contracted. For example, say somebody contracts to have a building put up, and they sign, well, they contract. The one who asked or signed the contract to have the building put up owes the builders the money which they have a right for that building. But then the builders have the duty to do their job, not waste time, and get more money than the contract which they've signed deserves. Now, sisters, who knows the name? Sisters, my day is made. If you can tell me, what is the name for a sacred contract? A sacred contract is called what? Begins with a C. A what?
Covenant.
Did you say covenant? Molto bene. A covenant. And sisters, our vows are what? They are a sacred contract, otherwise known as a covenant. He promised God, well, to pay so much, and that God, shall I say, signs the contract to pay us so much. Our vows are covenants. On our side, we contract, sisters, and hear it. We contract under, we say, a vow. Heavy vow is an oath. Did you know that? We swear. He called God to witness that we are sincere and are telling the truth. When we promise God, I will, as, am I correct, you people are preparing for your final vows. Which means your last sacred covenant as members of a consecrated community. And a vow is a sworn contract. Under oath, I swear, so help me God, I swear that I will remain faithful until God calls me into eternity. And God on His side, He also signs a contract. He also takes an oath. And He swears to do what? To give us the grace we need. And sisters, as you prepare for your final vows, let me tell you something. And this is the seventh commandment. Let me tell you something. I may have, but I doubt if I've said this before to you. Until the 16th century, no final vows were ever dispensed from by the church. Am I clear? Nobody took their final vows was ever dispensed from obedience to their final vows.